Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to, or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, I am grateful that you've chosen to invest time to learn with me and my guests, and I very much appreciate that you've chosen to spend that time with us. I hope for those of you who listened to last week's segment with my guest, Terry Malone, we talked about horses and how to keep your passion in your life. So I hope that you have taken an action between last week and this week in order to rediscover a passion, revisit a passion, or decide how to have that passion back in your life. And this week we have another wonderful opportunity and another wonderful guest. If you read the information about tonight's segment on rainforest preservation, that is the theme for our show, and the topic is of critical importance right now. I want you to think for a moment, the last time that you either thought about the rainforest or saw anything about the rainforest, what does a rainforest mean to you?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Melanie.
Oh, hi. I wasn't ready for you quite yet, but that's okay. I'm glad you're
okay.
Here, Marianne.
Just want to let you know that I'm here.
Oh, good. Well, I was just asking folks to think about the last time they saw or heard about or thought about the rainforest and what that means to them. And so I will take a moment and introduce you as my guest. Marianne, thank you very much for being with us. And Marianne has some wonderful experiences to share with us about the rainforest, as well as some very important information and some things that we can do that can make a critical difference right now with the rainforest. So welcome, Marianne.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, good. So for those people who don't know who Marianne is, can you tell us a little bit about Marianne?
Well, let's see. I'm a former high school business teacher, and I just really got tired of waiting for a bell to tell me when I could go to the bathroom and when I could eat. So I left that profession, went into the corporate world for a while. It didn't, really wasn't satisfying for me. So I decided to become my own boss, and I became a personal trainer, and I studied nutrition and went into some energy work and became a Reiki master and did some transformational prayer types of work, those kinds of things. And on my way back to Iowa, and because of 9/11, there was a woman in town that was calling me because the friends that she was talking to were kept telling her that they should, she should talk to me. And so that was something that led to me meeting a man named John Easterling, whose mission is to save the entire Amazonian basin. And it's a wonderful mission. And so when I met him, my life kind of changed. I didn't realize when I met him the impact of everything. But as I spoke with him, I realized this was a man of integrity. He was walking his talk. And there was truly, they were making a difference in the rainforest, and I became involved because without our rainforests, pretty soon we're not going to be able to breathe.
Well, and I was thinking about that as I was traveling home, that that might be a better title for tonight's show. If you breathe, you might want to know this information. Or if breathing is important to you,
yeah,
you might want to know that. Well, that's a very interesting path that you took in finding your way to meeting John. And the first time that I had heard the name Amazon John was when I clicked on the link that I put in the description. It was one that you had shared. I saw it on Facebook. And how did Amazon John become Amazon John?
Well, that's another very interesting story. He's a man, well, actually, as a teenager, he'd had Rocky Mountain spotted fever and hepatitis. And he almost died from that in a hospital in North Carolina. So he didn't have very good health. But he was also a real adventurer. And when he graduated from college, he had a degree in environmental studies. He actually bought a ticket to Ecuador, a one-way ticket, because he believed he could find the lost cities of gold in South America in 2 weeks. Well, he didn't. But he did make wonderful friends with the tribes in Ecuador and Peru and Brazil, and he became a treasure hunter. He was trading monkey bones and artifacts and gemstones and blowguns, all this kind of stuff, and just to fund his archaeological digs. And one day, you know, he wasn't in good health, but one day, here he was in the jungle, and he became more ill than usual. His fever was pretty intense, almost to the point of delirium. And he stumbled into a Shipibo Indian village, and the chief just kind of looked at him, and he said, John, you're sick. You know, why aren't your family and friends taking care of you? Because down there they take care of each other. And he said, well, you know, they tried. They just know what else to do with me. So they put him in a hammock, and they gave him an uña de gato and a shanca piedra tea. Those are just plants that grow in the rainforest wild there. And after probably drinking a quart of it or so, the next day his fever had broken, and he stayed with him for about 10 days drinking that and other things that just grow wild there. And, you know, he felt better than he had his whole life. And he realized, you know what, the treasure here are these botanicals I've been hacking down trying to find lost cities. So he sold his business, Raiders of the Lost Art, and he became a master herbalist and devoted his life to three things, to preserving these plants that had saved his life and their home, the rainforest, also helping these beautiful indigenous peoples have a sustainable way to make an income so they didn't have to sell their land or their trees to the lumber people, and to bringing us in the Western world these whole wild foods so we have the opportunity to have full health and vitality until the day we're not here. So he has a three-part mission, and his vision, as I mentioned, is to save the entire Amazonian basin, one village at a time. We're working currently with 14 villages, and we've got projects with 17 of them total. So there's a lot going on, and we've actually helped him to save over 550,000 acres of rainforest forever so far. And our current project will save an additional million forever. So it's real, it's viable, and it's happening. And I was down there with him in the jungle two or three years ago and got to see it for myself. I mean, I believed it and I knew it in my bones that it was true, but I also got to see it. And these beautiful indigenous peoples, oh my gosh, they're just pure love. They're just amazing. I did not want to come back. They're just so connected to the earth and so loving and wonderful. You know, they're just so conscious.
Well, and that leads to the question about your travels to Peru and sharing some of the stories from your experience and your personal observations.
Well, this is a trip that actually, as part of the Amazon Herb Company, you go for free. And so we had 9 days. I was with 9 women. We had 9 days where we were not only in the jungles with the indigenous peoples, but then also into Machu Picchu, and I climbed Huayna Picchu while I was there as well. But the impact for me, we went 5 hours beyond where the, you know, adventure tours even go into the jungle. And I got to actually dance with these people and drink masato with them and have lunch with them and be with them. And they are such giving people, you know. They're so innocent and wonderful. They haven't been spoiled by industrial nations kind of attitudes. And, of course, we brought gifts to them, but we can't outgive them. You know, we're giving them gifts, and they're putting gifts on us faster than we can give it to them. And we took them water purification systems in the villages that we visited because they don't have degenerative diseases up here, you know, like we do up here, like cancers and heart diseases and arthritis and diabetes. They don't have that kind of thing. They would have things from the dirty river water, you know, malarias and things connected with drinking dirty river water. So we took them the water purification system. And John is someone who is very protective of these people in terms of Western ways being encroached upon them in any way. So we only give them things that they ask for. Like, for example, they wanted to know at one point how to communicate more quickly or better with their other villages. There's quite a distance between villages. So we supplied them with solar-powered radios. So that was a big help for them. You know, we've given them a double-decker boat, for example. It's not motor-powered, but what they did with a double-decker boat was they turned it into a taxi so that they could have another source of income. So it's just, they're very ingenious and very sweet and just very wonderful.
Wow. It sounds like a very life-changing experience for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And what, do you see yourself going back to Peru?
Absolutely. It's on my little dream board or whatever you want to call it. As soon as I take care of a few other projects that I'm into here in the States. But definitely, it's a place that felt very much like home.
Wow. So when you were in Peru, you said you knew in your bones that it was a real situation and a real serious issue. Mm-hmm. What did you observe there that confirmed that, or maybe made it even more intense an issue than before you were there?
Well, you know, as I was on the river, we were on the river for 5 hours one way to get to the villages because that's the only mode of transportation, and we saw trees that had been cut into logs floating down the river. We saw areas that had been clear cut and burned. I mean, it was not pretty. And, you know, the devastation that happens with that also impacts us here in the States because every time, for example, something is burned like that, a large area, not only are the trees gone, but the people have had to move because it was burned. And when the people move to another region, they're not familiar with that region. They don't know how to survive in that region. There are different plants and different things there. And often they die because they don't know how to survive on that land. And usually there is a medicine man with them. Medicine men and curanderos, they both men and women, are usually, you know, older, maybe 70s or whatever, and they can die on the trip. They can die when they get to the new place. And once that person has left the planet, that wealth of knowledge is gone forever. It's equivalent to losing a whole library of information because that information that they have stored in their brains has come down person to person over generation to generation for hundreds of years. Invaluable information because 40% of our pharmaceutical drugs today come from plants that were derived out of the rainforest. It's just, you know, it's so important for us to have that knowledge. And so it's a very important thing to understand. I mean, just for an example, the Madagascar periwinkle, for example, it increased the chances of survival for children with leukemia from 20 to 80%. So we have 8 out of 10 children are now being saved from this. Now, what would have happened if we had failed to discover this plant before it became extinct? You know? Very,
wow.
Very, it's and, you know, the U.S. Cancer Institute, they've identified more than 3,000 plants that are active against cancer cells. 70% are found only in the rainforest.
Well, I mentioned earlier that you know, the problems, the health issues that the indigenous people face in the rainforest are from things related to water or like mosquito-borne illness, but it's not the degenerative problems that we face in our country.
No, because they have those remedies right there. You know, so, you know, nature has given us what we need if we just know how to use it. And we, with the Amazon Herb Company, we don't take anything out of the plants or put anything in the plants. We know we're not smarter than nature. And when you leave those plants whole, and of course they're wild, because they just grow wild in the rainforest, they're sustainably harvested. So that whole density of nutrition and the way that it's put together by nature gives us what we need.
And the fact that there's so many species that we haven't even explored or identified yet.
Oh, it's just incredible. In the Amazon rainforest alone, there's over 200,000 species of plants. Western science has maybe looked at 3%. I mean,
wow.
There's so much more to be discovered. It's just incredible. And, you know, the indigenous peoples, they're dying off. You know, in the Brazilian rainforest in the 1500s, there were 6 to 9 million indigenous peoples. By 1992, there were less than 200,000.
Wow.
You know, it's really sad. It's just so sad.
Well, and like you said, when the knowledge is contained in mind of a person, and if that person
mm-hmm.
doesn't have the opportunity to pass that information on,
mm-hmm.
then it leaves the rest of us to trip on and try and figure it out on our own, which often takes so much longer.
Well, that plus at the rate it's being destroyed, we're not going to have the opportunity to find it. I mean, we are losing the equivalent. Over 200,000 acres are burned every day. That's an area larger than New York City. So we're talking about almost 2.5 acres every second. I'm just going to say this. Every second, the equivalent of 2 football fields is destroyed. Every second. So in a year's time, 78 million acres, we're talking an area larger than Poland. This is being destroyed at a very rapid rate. And some scientists are predicting that when 40% of the rainforest is cut, it's going to reach a tipping point, and it will just start to die back spontaneously. And we're already at 20%.
And so it's
not
sustain anymore. And this gets to that part about the idea that how it impacts us, whether we live in the Amazon or not,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, for people who aren't aware. Okay, we talked about there's absolutely a huge, huge amount of potential healing
mm-hmm.
and health that's available there that we don't know about yet
mm-hmm.
that can impact us or our families.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other issues about the rainforest and some functions of the rainforest that people aren't aware of that they may say, well, you know, I'm healthy, so it's not going to impact me. What else can you share about that so that people can understand that here's how it's going to impact you? And your
well, breathing. Breathing is kind of imperative to us being alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more trees that are cut, then the amount of oxygen is reduced. I mean, we consider Mexico City, for example. If this current rate of deforestation continues, within probably the next 15, possibly 20 years, the oxygen content is, you know, will have declined to the point where human species can't even inhabit it because there won't be enough oxygen to support human life.
Wow.
This is a serious situation. And look at our weather. You know, our weather's been kind of wacky. You know, everything is so interdependent that upsetting one part leads to damage and even destruction in the whole. This is affecting how our weather patterns. I mean, just a couple of years ago, John was talking about how, you know, he's lived in Florida for, I don't know, years and years and years. And he had a direct hit 3 times by hurricane. Now, the odds of that happening are simply astronomical. You know, it's just, the weather's all wacky. It's just, bizarre.
Well, and yeah, when you think about all of the carbon dioxide that is in the plant and the function of, you know, they take carbon dioxide out of the air and they put oxygen back into the air. So that's definitely necessary, especially with the greenhouse effect and rising CO2 levels. And I just saw a piece at NASA. I was doing some research today for another presentation, and it was talking about a study that was just released yesterday about the thickness of the Arctic ice over the last 4 years being thinner than it has ever been.
Yes.
And that impact, what that impact could be. And when we don't pay attention to that, like you said, everything is interdependent in this system. And we've haphazardly just taken things and not paid attention to the fact that, oh, at some point we might want to think about, oh, well, that might have a long-term impact. Especially on weather and climate.
Absolutely. Peru's glaciers, they've lost almost a quarter of their ice since 1970. And the Peru National Council for the Environment predicts most of the glaciers are going to be gone in 20 years.
Oh my.
In southern Andes of Peru, there's the largest tropical ice cap on the planet. It has lost 20% of its area in the last 30 years. You know, in the first 15, it retreated 6 meters a year. And in the last 15 years, it has retreated 60 meters, a tenfold increase because of global warming.
Which is another reason the idea of needing to pay attention to the plants, the forests, the rainforest, as well as all of our other forest areas on the planet.
Absolutely. I mean, think of the wonderful benefits we've gotten from the rainforest. Our avocados, our figs, our oranges, our bananas, you know, our corn, our potatoes, our chocolate, our black pepper, our cinnamon, coffee, vanilla. I mean, look at all the stuff we've got. And there's over 3,000 fruits just in the Peruvian rainforest. We've maybe sampled or eaten in the Western world maybe 200. I mean, there's just so much stuff that is so beneficial to us. You know, it's the largest ecosystem, a pristine ecosystem on the planet. You know, it has maybe 5 to 10 million of the Earth's plant and animal species, yet it only covers about 77% of the land surface of the Earth.
I'm picking up.
Yeah, there's just so much there, you know, and we don't even know what all is there. Look at the great things that have come out of there already, and there's just so much more to know. If we keep burning it down, we're never going to know. And we probably won't even exist.
There you go. We'll be cutting ourselves right out of existence.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about how, I mean, there's definitely been an economic impact as to the advantage of clear-cutting areas of the rainforest. At least the people that were looking at economic development said, oh, this is the way to go.
Well, they can say that. The truth of the matter is when you clear-cut, you're gonna earn money one time. That land is going to be, cannot be renewed. And let's just take, for example, they clear-cut it and put cattle there. The landowner can maybe get $60 an acre out of it, but for a limited time, because the grasses are not going to be able to grow for very long. It's going to be depleted. It can't be replenished. If you cut the trees down, you get maybe $400 an acre the one time. And then the trees, oftentimes they use selective logging, and they'll take, you know, the best hardwoods, you know, the mahoganies and the teaks and whatever, and they trample the little trees getting to it, and that can't even be regenerated. So they're damaging the land for a one-time cut.
So it's a short-term gain.
It's a short-term gain, and then they have to keep cutting down more and moving more and more into the rainforest, which is destroying more habitat, more life. I mean, the species of plants and animals in the rainforest is just extraordinary.
So what's being done, Marianne, to change that situation so people can see the economic benefit as well as just the benefit to the species of being human, but the economic impact of switching that mindset from, okay, let's get the immediate short-term benefit, one-time benefit, to how can we make it long-term sustainable?
Well, I can tell you that when whole wild botanicals are harvested in this renewable and sustainable way, the land yields the owner $2,400 an acre, and it's sustainable. It keeps going year after year after year. That alone is making the rainforest more valuable alive than dead.
Absolutely.
When people can realize that you can do these things sustainably, the indigenous peoples have been living on this land and sustainably living there for centuries. They know if we incorporate them in the plan, they know how to take care of their land and what to do so that it doesn't die. So incorporating them into whatever you're thinking to do and their best interest, not going in and drilling for oil and ruining the land and whatever, but having them involved, they're the people that have lived there. They know how to take care of the land. They know how to preserve the trees and the habitat. So work with them and make this a viable economic thing where there's a demand and a market for sustainable rainforest products. Then they have the means, and the government has the means, which is part of the problem here. The government has the means to sustain what it needs for the monies out of here without destroying it. So the answer really is,
go ahead.
The answer really is, if people would get behind purchasing renewable, sustainable rainforest products and creating that market, using the local communities and the indigenous tribes, then the rainforest and the people can be saved. It's pretty simple, really.
So there's a two-part piece. The one question was, because you're talking about the government, and so are there things being done at the government level in the Amazon as far as...
Well, yes and no. Last year, I'm talking about Peru here, President Alan Garcia passed a couple of laws that opened up 70% of the rainforest to oil exploration. And those companies were lining up to begin moving into the forest, and the indigenous peoples protested. There was a violent skirmish. Several indigenous peoples were killed, and a few police as well, and there are lots of strikes with the indigenous people. And because of the world view, and everybody was made aware of it because of that, the government just in this last month did repeal two of the most oppressive laws that stopped the oil exploration from coming in right now. I mean, it'll continue to be a challenge. Our countries are run by, we're run, a lot of times by greed, and sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, kind of thing. So we looked upon this incident in Peru as a good, in one sense, a good eye-opener so that the world was made aware of what was really going on. So rainforest awareness is very important, and the more people can get involved in letting people know what's going on, the more pressure will be brought to bear on the governments that are unfairly taking advantage of the lands and the people.
What's one way that people can stay informed about what's going on?
Well, there are many wonderful websites, PachamamaAlliance.org, for example, is a really great way to find out what's happening. Rainforestalliance.com. Many, it's becoming Prince Charles has put together a website as well, and that's on my website, where he has a rainforest project, rainforestsos.org. And if people want to really do something on a daily basis, they can be sure that they're purchasing products from companies that are reducing the rainforest destruction. You know, vote with their dollars. They can go to sociallyresponsible.com. There's a list of responsible retailers there. And, you know, whenever you make a purchase, just consciously think about, is this going to conserve energy? You know, I mean, that can also help, buying efficient appliances and energy-saving windows and those kinds of things. And also packaging, you know, 50% of our garbage by volume is packaging. So instead of those individually wrapped juice boxes, you know, think about using a thermos or something. And recycle everything you can possibly do. We've gotten a little more conscious about that here in the United States, to recycle whenever you can. Write to your elected officials and know that conservation matters to you and that the rainforest is something that's important. And, you know, get the word out and let people know that, hey, something needs to be done here and awareness needs to be at the forefront.
Okay, that's a lot of good sites. And Marianne, too, if people are listening and they, and I'm going to, well, I'll ask you this again at the end, too, but if they want to connect with you about additional resources, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, there's three ways. They can go to Marianne Hess at .wordpress.com and actually find out. I did a section on rainforest preservation in there, and it has my contact information there as well. They could email me, Hess Marianne, it's H-E-S-S-E, Marianne with just A-N-N at gmail.com. They could call me, 641-919-0643.
Great, and we'll repeat that again at the end. But since you're giving all those great resource sites, and there's some places that I'll be taking.
Yeah, there's a whole listing on my MarianneHess.wordpress.com. There's a page that says "Be an environmentally conscious consumer," and so there's a whole list of stuff that I was just talking about that's right there.
Well, that's a link I'll be adding on my website at BrainBonanza.com, so that people who visit my site can find that as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are things that we can do that don't involve doing political marches or things like that to make a difference. I liked what you said with voting with your dollars, making globally responsible choices, and taking those types of globally responsible actions. You also, I want to back up to, you talked about purchasing renewable, sustainable products, things from, so if you were interested in purchasing products that were from the rainforest, where are some places you would look?
Well, you could just Google rainforest products. That's one way. You could contact me. That's another way. Everything that we do is sustainable and only comes into this country hand-inspected, so it's very, very pure. And we are also helping our indigenous peoples. We pay them well to do the harvesting so they can actually never have to sell their land. And we're also, as I mentioned, helping them get the title and deeds to their land in their own name so it can't be taken.
And when you say we, you're talking about the
Amazon Herb Company. That was the one that was founded by Amazon John when he devoted his life to that three-part mission of saving the plants and the rainforest and helping the indigenous peoples and bringing us the whole wild foods. I mean, it's as fresh as it could possibly be other than being there to pick it yourself, because he's very persnickety about that because of the experience he had. You know, he knows how good it is. And so he's very honoring of the life force energy of it and of the indigenous people. So it's, I'm going to say, right harvested and right handled in the most highest conscious way. It's probably not a grammatically correct sentence, but anyway, it's the highest consciousness all the way along.
And that can make such a difference to people. So if people wanted to learn more about Amazon Herb Company, Marianne, what do you recommend as a good way to learn more?
Probably contact me. Okay. What I like to do is walk people through the site and share with them the mission and the various things so they can understand how the website is laid out. It's had some changes. And so I prefer to just take them through that so they can see it and find the information that they'd like to find because it's been redesigned. And
wow. Personal guided tour. You don't often get that offer.
Well, that, yeah. Yeah, that way they can I can get their questions answered. They can see the research. They can see the various things that they're concerned about. And then I can also send them additional information that may not be there. I've been involved with this since 2001, you know, when the 9/11 thing happened. And so I have gathered lots of resources over the years that I can supplement to the information that's on the actual website.
That's awesome, because again, there's so many things, little things that we do day to day, but if it doesn't make major news, that we don't hear about what's happening, or things that are global are overshadowed by things happening in our own community or in our own country, and we forget that interconnectedness and that need to be aware of what's happening in countries other than where we have a presence. Or where we have a troop presence, those countries seem to come to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to add that just within the last 2 or 3 years, the Amazon Earth Company has partnered with the ACER Foundation. That's A-C-E-E-R, the Amazon Center for Environmental Education and Research. And we partnered with them because these people, as I mentioned, are just so innocent and wonderful and sweet and loving that people can come in and tell them various things like, oh, sell us your land, we'll give you all this money, and blah, 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 make it sound really good, without mentioning the devastation that will come with it. And they don't know. They don't have television. They don't have newspapers. They don't know that. I mean, they've kind of gotten it about the trees, but they don't necessarily know it about oil and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we help them get the Pylondes to their land, it could be because that's very empowering. They can say yes and no, whatever happens, right? So it's really wonderful for them. And because they're so innocent, they could be taken in. And so we partnered with ACER because they have the curriculum to go into the villages, train the professors, who in turn train the people and the children about the value of their rainforest land and how it impacts the entire global world picture, so that they will understand what is going on totally, and then they can really make an informed decision. So we've partnered with them, and so far we've worked with 17 different villages so that they have that education and the full picture. And that's just so beautiful because it's like a full circle thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly, and to be able to allow them still to be, the indigenous people, to be as trusting and loving, mm-hmm. and yet be aware of the value of what they have.
Because they really do want to contribute. They're so big-hearted and wonderful. They want to contribute to the rest of the world. They just don't know how, and they could be misled. So here, when they have all the facts, they have the total picture, then they can really, you know, do what they'd like to do with it and impact positively their land, their children, and the world.
And it can be done in a way, as you said, it's sustainable, that's mutually beneficial.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be in the, if you go back to the old colonization of this mm-hmm. country, which was not mm-hmm. always done in a mutually beneficial way.
Exactly.
And to be able to have that opportunity to, again, think about the fact that we are global and we are interconnected. And with the communication that we have now, it's more than ever being able to look at videos on YouTube. Because I looked at a couple today, one which was done by, was a school, it's like a 5-minute piece by a student that was very, very powerful. And be able to see and connect with and impact people mm-hmm. that are across the globe from us. And we do that here on Spark. I have listeners from other countries, which is amazing, to be able to have that connection almost real time with people and know that we can communicate, share ideas, and use it to make a positive impact, which is what we're talking about tonight, as well as some people have used it to make a negative impact. So the challenge to people then is to, you know, what is it you want to do so that you can face your children, your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews and say, these are the things that I did to help have a safe and healthy planet for you.
Absolutely.
And I need to give out our phone number because we only have about 18 minutes left.
So
if you are listening and you have a question for Marianne, please give us a call at 347-215-8390. And if you're listening to this in the archives, as I know a number of my listeners do, we'll repeat Marianne's contact information again at the end. And please do contact her because this is one of her passions. And the more people that she can connect to good information and good resources, the greater the impact that we'll have before we hit that tipping point.
And I also wanted to share the little story about Nicole Maxwell, because John went down to the rainforest early on before he founded this company. He ran onto her. Of course, there's no accidents, in my opinion, in lifetime. So he went down to the rainforest with a lady by the name of Nicole Maxwell. She was 84 years old when they went down to the rainforest because she had a real passion for this. She was a lady that was raised as a debutante in the 1920s and married, I think, a general in the army or something. And it just didn't work out. It wasn't her lifestyle. And so she divorced him and went down into the jungles. And she was actually being paid originally by some drug companies to research the botanicals. And when she found some of them, she took to the drug companies. They couldn't make a drug out of it because they're trying to extract various things. And then it doesn't work, of course. So they said, well, we're not going to fund you anymore. Never mind it. But she didn't care. She went back down. And she discovered all kinds of wonderful plants and what they were good for. She had even cut her arm with a machete one time, and Sangre de Drago, you know, just sutured it right back together and didn't even hardly leave a scar. Anyway, she discovered all this stuff. And so they traveled down there together. And when she passed on, she gave John, Amazon John, all of her notes so that he could carry on the mission of the healing plants and make it available to everyone. So we actually have a nonprofit organization called the Institute of Botanical Exploration. And this group is organizing and compiling all those field notes. And it's like 40 years of experiences.
Wow.
So that we have that medical knowledge, medicinal knowledge of the Amazonian rainforest forever.
What a legacy she left.
Yeah. Just a...
Because it was the right thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are no accidents. They met for a reason, and she passed him on, and he's continuing, you know, in that spirit.
And now with the technological advances we have to realize that, yeah, you can't always take pieces out. You need to look at the whole also. That people may now be, or the communities are more ready to benefit from those plants.
Absolutely.
And to research.
It's been quite a journey. Several years ago, in 2003, I think it was, the village of Port Vanier was the first village that we helped get the deeds to their land. And we helped them get the deeds to 13,000 acres. And they celebrate the anniversary of that every year, and they invite John for down to celebrate with them because, you know, he's a friend of theirs and has helped them a great deal. And they presented him a document, I think it was in 2003, that was signed by all 56 members, adult members of the community, expressing their gratitude for what he and the company have done to get them the deeds and providing these wonderful renewable source of income from their village. It's very unusual to be honored by an entire village. And it was even more rare to be recognized in all the written documents by all the adult members because their custom is for only the leaders to sign the documents. So the mutual reciprocal honoring of John for the people and people for John is just incredible, and you get to experience that when you go with him because you're with him and so they honor you too. It's just so beautiful.
And what a powerful, positive energy around that. Just listening to you talk about it and visualizing the power of that and knowing that, again, when people discover their passion and live their passion for something bigger,
mm-hmm.
to serve the world, and you can make a living doing it, it's just you have that drive from within,
mm-hmm.
to continue to move through and around and any obstacles or challenges, and it's easy to bring other people with you because of that energy and that passion that
mm-hmm.
you have, which you have just in listening to the stories
mm-hmm.
that you're telling, that it's like breathing for you, I would guess.
And not only that, I mean, it was so powerful with John as the founder and head of this company. And then a year ago, June 2008, John married Olivia Newton-John. And they had had like a 15-year friendship and whatever. It's just a beautiful story. His dog is one of her dog's puppies. I mean, they've had an interaction for years. And she is a huge environmental activist. And so now, really, truly, at the head of the company, we have the male-female energies that are just so incredible to take this even further into the world. It's just so beautiful. I got to talk with her at our last summit in July of 2008. She's a beautiful person. I mean, inside and out. She's just a down-to-earth, beautiful person who cares, and it's just wonderful.
Well, and when people, you can see that, and you can hear it, and you can feel it when you're with them,
mm-hmm.
that because it is such a part of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not to be just as a pun about when you're living your passion, it is like breathing and realizing that whether you have a personal passion for rainforest preservation or simply a passion for breathing, that
mm-hmm.
any action, any step makes a difference. I think sometimes people feel like I have to turn my whole life upside down or I have to change all these things about what I do in order to make a difference. And I think sometimes we talk about there are so many ways that people can have a positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, Marianne, reiterate just some of the small things that people can do that
sure.
will make a difference?
Yeah, because it's just being aware and conscious every day of your actions. I mean, it's true for our whole lives in terms of being positive. You know, having a positive impact on our families or our friends or whatever. But, you know, you can just be sure that you recycle. Just about anything can be recycled. You know, use the back of a sheet of paper. You can return hangers to your dry cleaners. You know, you can use milk cartons as planters for spring and summer seeds. And you just use your imagination as to how can I reuse this kind of a thing. Again, you know, use paper from recycled products or tree-free fibers. You know, choose companies that their packaging is from recycled products. I mean, that's another thing, recycled trees. I mean, you could do that. Again, the minimal packaging, think about that when you buy these little boxes of things because that's going to end up in our landfills. Products that conserve energy. Any company that is reducing the rainforest destruction, buy from them if at all possible. Going to that list to see, sociallyresponsible.com. It's, you know, going online and finding these various, you can donate to Adopt a Rainforest. You know, you can go look online to Adopt a Rainforest and assist in that way by donating money to them. You can join organizations like the Rainforest Alliance to help support the protection of the rainforest. All those kinds of things on a daily basis. Just it's being aware of what is my action going to, how is it going to affect the environment, and is it necessary for me to throw this away, or is it necessary for me to buy this, these little boxes or whatever it is? Is that really necessary? Can I do it another way? Can I get a bigger container of juice and put it in my own little plastic containers or whatever jars at home and do it that way? You know, we can use our imaginations here. We are, you know, human beings that can think. So let's use this in ways that benefit Mother Earth rather than what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even things like if the rainforestsite.com,
mm-hmm.
where just by clicking and then looking at the different products, mm-hmm. you have to buy anything, you have to do anything, just click. And that's mm-hmm. something that doesn't take anything more than a few seconds of your day,
mm-hmm.
too. So you've given us a nice list of things that, you know, even turning off a light when you're not in the room, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, everything, every little thing, every little action that you take will make a difference. So it doesn't have to be out protesting, and you don't have to write 10 letters a day. Just every day your actions. Think about how is this impacting, positively or negatively, the environment and our future generations.
And I don't remember if it was Seneca who said that, about being conscious about how your actions are going to impact seven generations. He's a Native American, I can't remember who, but it's that thinking about, and I think it's frustrating sometimes when we look at our governments, who it's very obvious they're not thinking about how is this decision today going to impact seven generations from now?
No.
Because they would make a different decision, obviously, if they were thinking that way.
Yeah, it's just a little nuts.
So rather than being frustrated about what we can't control, it's
right.
thinking about, you know what, can I do every day or today or in the next 5 minutes that will make a positive difference?
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it from that perspective.
It might just be telling somebody about what's going on, informing another person.
Mm-hmm.
That would also help, because the more people who know and then become aware and turn off their lights when they leave the room, the better. I mean, think if we all did that every single day, it would make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, you know, how many of us have a television on just for the noise?
Exactly.
Where nobody's really watching it. And it's funny because I tell Alex, my 8-year-old, that, you know what, from time to time, the TV needs a rest. We went through a period where we had, I don't know, a TV that was old and the picture tube went out, and then we got one that was flawed. So, you know, there was a period where we were a couple weeks without TV, and so we could get our news on the computers through streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of where we would just listen to the radio or we would do anything. So now it's every day. The TV needs a rest. So it's got to be off. So we can do other
mm-hmm.
things. We can read. We can play games. But we need to have that idea that it doesn't have to be on the first thing when we walk in the door, or you know, being aware of things that we just flip on switches for granted, we take it for granted that it needs to be on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, technology is a great thing when we use it wisely. And turning off the television and, you know, getting off the computer and not playing so many games, whatever, and spending time with your family enriches us all.
Oh,
you know, maybe taking a walk in nature to appreciate what we have right here in our own yards, and our own trails, and our own towns, you know. And go, I know this sounds a little bit like a hippie, but go hug a tree. You know, that tree is giving you life. And appreciate that it's doing that, and thank it. Because without it, we wouldn't be here.
And that is so true. I'm going to remind people that in the description for the show, there is a link to the Amazon Impact video that's on YouTube, and you can search for Rainforest and find other YouTube videos that are there as well. So if people didn't get to see the video before our interview, it will stay in the description so people can find it there.
Is that the Cousteau video, Melanie?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll just mention that the Cousteau organization did a chronicle the 25 years of what's happened in the Amazon, called Return to the Amazon. They aired it on PBS in June of 2008. And there is a way you can get the whole two-hour documentary if you're interested in that. Contact me. Otherwise, there's that like 10-minute little link where you can see what they have done and what they've discovered, and there's a little bit of Amazon John in there talking about some of the valuable plants as well.
And it is, it's eye-opening because we get so involved in the busyness of our day-to-day things that, and we don't think about. And so I think the fact that when I was looking for guests and you said, I'd love to talk about this, I'm so glad that you contacted me, Marianne, because it's something that had been off of my radar for a while. And in terms of the severity and the escalation of the situation in the Amazon basin and things that I can do, whether it's putting links on my website, doing the show with you now, and you're welcome to contact me anytime in the future if you want to, you know, there's changes or there are things happening. I'd be happy to have you back.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Just like you say, the more people who are aware, the better, because as we're all a little more conscious, it's going to make a huge difference. And we really want our future generations to be able to breathe. So it's one of those things. So I did want to do just a quick closing remark.
Well, yes, because I was just going to say we're down to about 3 minutes, and I want to repeat how to get a hold of you, and then that, you know, those final, you know, the final message you want people to take away. So to contact you, when is your, you have a blog, and that's your name, Marianne Hess, MarianneHesse at WordPress.com.
It's dot WordPress.com.
Oh, it's dot WordPress.com?
Yes.
How do we do this? Okay, and then your email is HessMarianne, H-E-S-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
MarianneN at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And your phone number is 641-919-0643.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will also put a link to some of the websites that you have given. I'll put that on Brain Bonanza, so if people want to find you that way, they can go to brainbonanza.com under links and find a link to you, as well as to the sociallyresponsible.com and some of the other sites. And I want to remind people that you are very happy to give them an individual tour of the Amazon Herb Company site and answer questions for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so just so that they can be more informed, which is wonderful. So in our last, about minute and a half, Marianne, what is it you want to close with?
Well, I just want to say that the real solution to saving the rainforest is to make its inhabitants see the forest and the trees by creating a consumer demand and consumer markets for these sustainable rainforest products. Each and every person in the United States can take a part in this solution by helping create that consumer market and demand and purchasing renewable, sustainable rainforest products and demanding sustainable harvesting of these resources using local communities and indigenous tribes of the rainforest. We can all be part of the solution, and the rainforests of the world and their people can be saved. And I just want to add this Native American proverb, which sometimes brings me to tears. We did not inherit the land from our fathers. We are borrowing it from our children. So I encourage all of you to act now to make sure your grandchildren are going to be able to take a breath.
That's one of my favorite quotes, too. Thank you so much, Marianne, for investing the hour with us to share resources, to increase awareness, to share your passion, and hopefully something that you have shared tonight will spark in listeners that they can take an action to make a positive difference on rainforest preservation. And I invite you, if you're listening to this, to share this link with your family and friends so they can become more informed, because the show stays in the archives and you can always find it here. I want to thank you again, Marianne, so much for your time and for being with us. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I will look forward to hearing from you and having you back in the future.
All right.
Thank you so much. And to my listeners, please take an action this week to be conscious, to be positive, and to make a difference for the rainforest and for yourself now and for future generations. Thanks for listening. And next week, my guest is MJ Ryan, and we'll be talking about her new book, Adaptability, How to Cope with Change You Didn't Ask For. So I invite you back for that as well. Until then, take care, stay safe, and take an action to make a positive difference for yourself, for your children, and for the world. Take care, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.